Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Isaiah Peertz, and this is Total Sovereign Grace Ministries. If you will, turn with me to Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and all them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Most of you have heard of the phrase, the New World Order. You may look on the back of a dollar bill and see the pyramid that has an eye on top of it. And under that pyramid you see a Latin term, Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means New Order of the Ages, or roughly, New World Order. Major politicians in the past have called for a New World Order. You saw it with H.W. Bush, you saw Henry Kissinger, and recently you see people like Barack Obama and President Joe Biden. But what is the New World Order? It's a goal, an idea of the world elite to establish a global government in which these power brokers control the world, they control the economy of the world, they control the religious systems of the world, and everything is under their control. Brock Chisholm, he was the first director of the World Health Organization. He explained their goal. He was very open about what he wanted. He said this, to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. Just an FYI, the World Health Organization is the organization that is assisting and dealing with this health crisis across the world right now, so that shouldn't bring any of us comfort. But that's the truth. But the first director of the World Health Organization, Brock Chisholm, said, well, first off, our goal is this. We need to establish a global government. And in order to establish this global government, we need to complete a couple objectives. The first one was this. We must remove from men their individualism or their mindset that their rights are individual and not collectivist. We have to make people think that giving up their rights for the greater good of society is what's best. Not that your rights are derived from your Creator, but we have to sacrifice some rights in order to benefit society. What's best for society is more important than your rights. That's how it's going to be sold. That's how it's being sold now. The brutal dictator of Nazi Germany, Hitler, said this. He said, society's needs come before the individual's needs. And that's what we're seeing now. We're going to see a lot more of that in the future. And I'm going to bring up Hitler a couple times because my dad often told me growing up, he said, son, Hitler was a dress rehearsal before the great play. Or in other words, Hitler was just showing us how all of this could come about, how this New World Order could come about. But it wasn't the actual thing. The actual thing, the actual New World Order is coming, and it's going to be much worse than Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. So we can see, anyways, in America, just how this collectivist mindset is being pushed on us, that we have to give up our rights, and we have to do what's best for society. Next thing they need to do is they need to remove from men their loyalty to family tradition, because they can't have tight-knitted families. A tyrannical government cannot thrive when families are strong, because when families are strong, they look to each other to solve problems and not the state. It starts by controlling the children. That's what the state wants to do, and that's what they're doing now. If they can brainwash your children, they can destroy a country in a generation. Going back to the deadly tyrannical leader Hitler, who said these three quotes, he said, the state must declare the child to be the most precious treasure of the people. As long as the government is perceived as working for the benefit of the children, the people will happily endure almost any curtailment of liberty and almost any deprivation. End of quote. He also said this, let me control the textbooks and I will control the state. He also said this, when an opponent declares, I will not come over to your side, I calmly say, your child belongs to us already. What are you? You will pass on your descendants, however, now stand in the new camp. In a short time, they will know nothing else but this new community. See, Hitler was so satanic and so evil, he knew what it took to create a new world order. He just wasn't successful at the time. It was not the time appointed by God for the new world order. But anyways, we see now that they've gotten to our children. They've gotten to the children of the world and the children of the United States of America through lies and textbooks, rewriting history, teaching them that they came about by chance through the Big Bang and ultimately evolved from an amoeba over billions of years, also known as the theory of evolution through natural selection. They've taught them now that it's normal to be a homosexual and that you can change genders if you feel a certain way. They've taught them that everything in life should be given to them by the state. They've all but scared churches into assembling, and the churches, when they do assemble, teach messages that feed into carnal desires, carnal thinkings, carnal expectations of prosperity. Satan has most of the children where he wants them, and that is the second phase of initiating the New World Order. The third objective to establish a global government, as Brock Chisholm said, is to remove national patriotism from the minds of men. Why? Why would he want to do that? Because if they can make you think that borders don't matter, that all the nations depend on each other, that there's nothing unique and special about America, they can make the idea of a global government palatable to everyone in the United States. When you look at all the major Western nations now, they're all going downhill morally, spiritually, and economically. They're all forming all these alliances and treaties, such as the Paris Climate Accords, and all of this is just inching closer and closer towards this new world order that they want. Lastly, their goal is to remove religious dogmas from the minds of men. Why? Because in a tyrannical government, the goal is to make the state God. Any preaching on sin in the eyes of this tyrannical government is divisive, it causes issues, and therefore they want it gone. They want to put a muzzle on the idea that man has a sin problem, and they want to put a muzzle on the fact that Christ is the only way to heaven. They want everyone to unite under this ecumenical call. And in many cases, as we saw in Soviet Russia years ago, the state was actually God. The state was actually the religious body. But religion is always used to take power. Then the true colors come out. Many people think Hitler, who is the epitome of a tyrant, was a Christian. But I have some news for you. Reread his speeches and his notes and his books, and you will see that he uses the name of Christianity to take power. And then once he took power, he let his real intentions be known. He wanted all the worship and all the praise, and so will the coming leader of the New World Order. Hitler said that Christianity was the illegitimate child of the Jews. He also said, you see, it's been our misfortune to have the wrong religion. Why didn't we have the religion of the Japanese, who regard sacrifice for the fatherland as the highest good? The Muslim religion too would have been much more compatible to us than Christianity. Why did it have to be Christianity with its meekness and flabbiness? End of quote. See, Hitler wasn't a Christian, and I believe very much that the New World Order will be started by people who scream Christianity. Politicians always use religion. We can see in America now the preparation for the New World Order. We're being stripped of our rights, inch by inch. Families are turning on each other. National patriotism is nothing more now than just getting drunk and shooting off fireworks on the 4th of July. And Christianity, if taught at all, is so watered down and so tolerable to sin that it is unrecognizable from 40 years ago. Everything is in place for this New World Order. And now we're going to get into analyzing our text. Revelation 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." So first we look at the word sea. What does this mean? This is a vision that John is being shown by God, Yahweh, on the coming world government. And this beast rises up out of a sea. The word sea here means the sea of humanity, the diverse peoples of the world. Revelation 17:5 tells us this, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." The sea are different types of people, different nations, and different languages. So the sea of humanity. Going back to our opening verse, we see that out of the sea comes a beast. A beast in Bible prophecy is usually referred to as a nation or an empire. And in many cases in Revelation, the beast is a singular man leading this empire, also known as the Antichrist. In this case, we see an empire rising up out of the sea of humanity, and it has many heads and many horns. And these horns are, as Daniel 7 tells us, kings. But Revelation 17:12 also tells us that these horns are kings. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So we've established so far that it appears that an empire rises up out of the sea of humanity with 10 leaders. The Bible calls them kings. That could refer to presidents, prime ministers. This is John using his vocabulary to describe to us what he is seeing. The book of Daniel has details on this, and amongst 10 kings, comes another king who we call the Antichrist, the political leader of this end time empire or the New World Order. Daniel 7, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." So amongst these 10 kings, a king emerges who leads these kings, and he uproots 3 of them. So you have a singular man who is leading this empire, if you will, but that is assisted by other kings who pledge allegiance to him. So there is the structure of the New World Order, the government of the New World Order. But that is not all it consists of. We also find out that this leader of the government is worshipped globally by all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this worship is enforced by his partner in crime, really his partner in sin, the false prophet. So you have the Antichrist, the political leader, who leads the government, and then you have his religious partner, the false prophet. So let's take a look at this false prophet. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So let's stop right there. Here we see another beast rising up, except this beast is different in appearance and different in origin. This beast appears to look like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. What does that mean? From what I can conclude on that, my opinion, that means that this leader appears lamb-like or Christ-like, but he speaks like a dragon, or he speaks like Satan. This lamb-like appearance, in my opinion, is what will allow him to deceive many so-called Christians, because it is my belief that this man will arise out of what we call Christendom. In my opinion, if there is anyone that fits this bill right now of who this false prophet is, it is no one other than the Pope, the leader of the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not saying it's Pope Francis, but I believe whoever is Pope at this time will use this ecumenical call of unite world religions for the sake of peace and unity, and yet this man will be satanic. He will appear Christ-like, he will appear peaceful, but in his words and in his mouth, he will be satanic. Just listen to the doctrines of the Catholic Church, listen to the Pope now, and all you hear are things that are directly opposed to the Word of God. And that is my opinion of who I think the false prophet will be, whoever is Pope at the time. That is my opinion. I want us to continue in our text. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now we're going to stop again. This false religious leader exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, and then he causes the world to worship the Antichrist. We're going to continue our text. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. We're going to pause again. We're going to keep pausing because there's just so much. This man will have demonic power to do great signs and great wonders. And what is so sad about this is that the world will be enamored by him and his partner, the Antichrist. You go into many of America's churches and they are fascinated with what they call signs and wonders, most of which are actually not happening. But imagine for a moment a man pulling fire down from heaven and actually displaying in front of the masses miracles. But in reality, they'll be satanic. The world will listen to whatever he says. And he will tell them this new world order is great. And he will direct them to worship and to follow the Antichrist. Now we're going to continue. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So here in review we see that this desire of mankind to create a global government is going to be in effect in the near future. We see the governmental composition of it with the beast rising up out of the sea, and now we see the religious aspect of it with this false prophet. But yet there is another piece to the puzzle that is very important, so continue with me. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So now we see the economy of the New World Order. You will be required to have a mark in your right hand or on your forehead to buy or sell. No one is exempt from this. Rich or poor, free or bond alike are all required to have this mark. But if you take this mark, you will have damned yourself for all eternity to the lake of fire. And lastly, we see the name of the Antichrist will somehow come out to 666. Whether it is in Hebrew geometry or some form of another, his name will be equated with this number. But ponder this with me now. We live in a society where everything you do is tracked. You go to the store, it's tracked. The transactions are tracked because you're using a credit or a debit card. And even with cash, it's tracked because the cash registers in the store keep count of all this. Everything, absolutely everything, is tracked. The amount of money you spend and pull out of stocks, the amount of money moved to your bank, the amount of money you pull out of your bank. But in this forthcoming economy, you will be tracked to the T. You will not be able to buy or sell without this mark on your right hand or in your forehead. So look around in our society. Everything is going digital. They're pushing away from cash to move to digital dollars. And it will likely be passed off as a great thing. They'll promise to stop identity theft. They'll say, hey, we can stop all sorts of things. You know, all you have to do is get this mark in your right hand or your forehead. In my opinion, I think that in today's world, that this mark will be something close to a microchip that contains all your personal information. Your health, your criminal status, your occupation, your banking information. That's my opinion. But let me just end this sermon with this. This is eschatology. We are taking the Word of God and trying to interpret what will happen based on what we see now. I cannot guarantee you that the mark of the beast will be a microchip. I cannot guarantee you that the false prophet will be the Pope at the time. But what I can guarantee you of is this, that Christ is coming back soon. And he will be coming back to enact vengeance on all those who do not know him and do not follow him. So where will you be? Will you be faithful to the end, even if it costs you your life? Or will you be standing in line to receive the mark in your right hand or on your forehead? So what is it for you today? We ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word today. Thank you and God bless you.